all the. Yeah. Okay. You have a lot of. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I really, yeah, now you can relax. You know, it kind of doesn't really work that way in the church.
Well, why can't we do it my way? That was so much easier. And all this talk.
Well,
who's going to do this and who's good at that and who and why and how and oh.
Yeah, I know, Jody. I know. It seems to be, you know, and some churches actually do it that way. They have, it's called warm bodies. They see a person come in and they think they'd be good at that. Let's ask them to do that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it seems like a good way to go, but you know, when you get people who don't have the gifts or the skills or ability to do that particular thing doing it, what happens?
No.
Chaos, grumpiness, people aren't happy doing what they're not gifted to do. It kind of becomes an unhappy church. And I think one of the things we need to recognize is that when we have people who have the real gifts to do the things that we need done in the church, and they're doing it because they love it, they're much more joyful. They're much happier. So in the church, that's kind of our job, is to figure out who can do what and invite them into that work. That's the easiest way to do it. Now, we have somebody that I sort of invited today to come and speak who's really good at what he does. And we love having him. So where's Udo? Udo, come on up. This is how it's done, Jody.
You tell her!
I thought I told her.
Come on up here.
Keith.
Up here. You want to maintenance? So you know what? We switch it to maintenance eventually. But what is your gift? What is your particular gift? What is your role here at the church?
My role is I'm a board member. I've been a treasurer for the last 3 years. I've been tasked with analyzing the requirements and seeking solutions, and to watch over the legacy of what this congregation has created for Okotoks and its residents.
And doesn't that sound exciting to most of you, to do the analysis and financials and all that sort of stuff? But what particular gifts do you have? What have you done in the past, and what is it? Like, as opposed to getting you to run the Sunday school or the choir or something like that.
No, thank you. Basically, my skill sets is a university education in business and computers, 25 years in finance and computers in the oil patch, and the fact that I've always had an affinity for numbers, because it's really not that difficult.
Oh, we're going to talk about that in a minute, yes. And then, you know, why do you serve in the church? What brings you to?
Well, it's upbringing, I guess. I've always been brought up to give back. I'm from an immigrant family who came over to Canada with nothing, and we have done rather well. My wife and I have no children of our own, but we have provided home and support for several teenagers who needed support and a place to live while they were completing their studies. I've worked in the Uncles at Large program to mentor a young fatherless boy. I found that very fulfilling. We were eventually able to take in a couple of nieces when their father passed away, and we helped raise them. That was very rewarding. And I think about, you know, what parents in general do. I mean, it's amazing to me because I'm not one. Well, I'm sort of one. But, you know, the giving that parents give to their children, it's not a matter of 1, 2, 3 years. It's like 18 years, you know, like 20 years.
Or 40 some these days.
And you have to make it through the terrible twos as well. In addition to that, I've, like Peter from last week, I've been with Rotary for 12 years. And their motto was service before self. I spent 20 years in Kiwanis. Their motto is we build. And I realized that we can do so little by ourselves, but so much together. And I've seen that on the wall here somewhere. And I think about finances as more than just numbers. You know, we try to ensure that scarce, precious resources, which is the donations of the church, are properly and efficiently utilized, and those in charge are held accountable. Last but not least, I had a hard time saying no to Mary Willis, Jimmy Walker when he was here, and of course Julia. It's another three people that are added to my list of people I can't say no to, like my mother and my wife. And of course, being retired, I do have the time on my hands, so yeah. I'm available.
Thanks, Udo. Udo does a brilliant job. And actually, Udo, I wanted to say to you thank you because you have taught me a lot, actually.
There's more to come.
Udo has a great philosophy. He loves the numbers. I mean, you should see how excited he is at Excel spreadsheets and trying to teach me how to do them, which is almost an impossible task. But he gets excited about doing these things. He's definitely in the right work because he loves doing it. But he has taught me also that numbers are simply numbers, but we support the church with what we have, our resources, because it is the work of the kingdom that we're doing. And I appreciate that. So thanks, Udo, for your work.
You're welcome.
And what you do. So you see, Jody, the church works best when the people who are gifted to do particular jobs are doing the jobs that they should be doing, that they're gifted to do.
But Julia.
Yes. Now it's coming.
What if you don't have a gift?
Ah, yes. You know what happens? Some people come into the church, and what they do is they see people in the church doing some amazing things. They see Udo doing what he's doing, or they see Pat doing what she's doing, or they see Mary and Norm doing what they're doing, or Shannon and Brian, or they see people doing these things, or singing, or whatever the case may be, and they say, I can't do that. I don't have those gifts. I must not be gifted. And what our scripture tells us, what God tells us, is that we are. We are all gifted with something. But not all gifts are as prominent as others, right? There's something called the gift of helps, where what we do is we come, and it may not seem important, but let me tell you, if somebody wasn't doing the coffee on Sunday mornings, or cleaning up afterwards, or helping with turkey supper, setting up tables, or doing the maintenance on this building, which not many people see, but is getting done weekly on a weekly basis, the church wouldn't run. It's not the prominent gifts. It's what everybody can do. And the Bible says we all have those gifts. We all have something we can do to help and support and build this church.
So how do we figure out what we're supposed to do?
Yeah, that's often the challenge for people because they see some things happening that they don't want to be a part of and they don't know exactly what to do. Sometimes the reality is Udo says he's just naturally good at numbers, right? I, on the other hand, am not naturally good at numbers. The reality is our gifts are usually something we're already using that we think comes so naturally that everybody must have them. and it's not true. Not everybody has them. I do not have the eye of Carol to decorate like she does. You know, I just don't have some of these gifts that come so naturally to people. Usually we're already using our gifts. But if we're not, there are a couple ways I would say. Either come and see me and we'll talk about it, because there are inventories you can use to find your gifts, or jump in. Do something. Because if you do something, you just might find out you love it and you have a gift for it that you didn't know you had. Also, I say in the church, if you don't see something happening that you would love to do, then make it happen. Start it. Do something. Sharon did that. She started a book study because there was no book study, and said, I would love to have a book study and do it with other people. So she started it herself. Brian and Shannon brought In From the Cold here, and Jackie. Just do something you love, and you'll find the joy of it, and you'll find your gifts and your passion.
Does everyone have to do something? I mean, there's lots of us. Can't just some of us do something? Can I sit down from worship chair?
Here's the thing, it's not me or the boards or the board chairs or anything saying people have to do something in the church. We don't say that. God does, though. In Scripture, it tells us that everybody has been given a gift. Everybody has been given a gift. And if we don't use it, as Candace so aptly pointed out in her story today, if we don't have flour in our church, or we don't have vanilla or sugar or something like that, or even salt, or baking soda, which sometimes is really bitter, if we don't have all of those things, we don't have cookies. We don't have a church. We really need everybody in the church to do their part. Whatever it is, God says, I've gifted you, I've given you everything you have. Now use what you have to build the church. Because the church is only as strong as the people who have participated in it, right? We're all ministers. I'm one who has a role here on Sunday mornings, and I might have an office here, but I'm a minister among ministers. We're all equal in that way. We've all been given gifts, and the church will be as strong as you using each of your gifts to build up the church, so that the church will be the body of Christ in the world.
Makes sense.
Kind of makes sense. Work for you?
It'll work.
Okay. Right. So after the service, people will be trading off whatever you gave them to do to the right people.
Might take a little organizing.
Might take a little organizing. Yeah, I think the Bible tells us that everyone has a gift, and our scripture today told us why that's important. Because we are to love each other, we are to build each other up, to serve one another with whatever gift you have received. Speak with the words of God. Serve with the strength that God supplies. Even some of our folks who think, I don't have anything to offer, you might just have the most important gift we need in the church. That is, you can pray. If you don't have the strength, or you don't think you have the ability to do some of the things we do here at the church, please pray for the church each and every day. It is an amazing gift to have prayer for this community. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the one who is honored whenever we use our gifts in the church. When we complement each other's abilities and use what we have been given to serve the good of the whole. Of course, we do use our skills and abilities other places in the world. You're a nurse. You use your compassion and your skills and your training to serve the world. Of course we do. But if we don't use them first in the church, we're not honoring Jesus. So our first responsibility as Christians is to use what we have been given to serve the church. God has tasked every one of us as ministers of the church to do our very best to build a dynamic, effective community. And if the church is to be as effective as possible, it needs each and every one of us. It's our responsibility. So the best thing that each of us can do for the church is use our skills and our abilities and our passions to serve God in the church. Regardless of what we have been given, every steward, which is every one of us, is tested by the same standard, which is faithfulness in using what we have been given. It's not the size of our ministry that counts, but what we do with what we have been entrusted. That's important. We're going to spend some time now in reflecting on that and in prayer. Prayer for the church, prayer for our own gifts, prayer for what we do and what we care for.